context for this, these verses. This is Cornelius is praying, and he believes in God. He's giving gifts to the poor. He's doing the best that he can to follow God, but he has not experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he's just doing what he can as he can. And he gets a message saying, send for Peter, who's in Joppa. And meanwhile, at the same time...
Joppa, Maryland?
Yeah, right? That's right.
Can't believe we're sleeping on Joppa, Maryland.
And then Peter, at the same time, is praying, and he has the vision that a lot of people are very familiar with, where there's like a... the cloth falls down from heaven, and it's all the unclean animals, and God says, take and eat. And Peter says, absolutely not. I've never eaten anything unclean. And then God eventually says, do not call things unclean that I have cleaned. And then Peter comes to them and sees that they've accepted God. And that's why he's saying, I now realize that God does not show favoritism, because he's clearly seeing God's work in the Gentiles. And it's a very big moment, because there's this... there's still a lot, and there will continue to be, throughout the New Testament, a lot of back and forth between the Jews and the Gentiles. But this is the very first time that Peter's like, oh, I get it, because that's what that whole thing was, right? Don't call things unclean that I've cleaned. And he's referring specifically to the Gentiles. All right, Anna, will you read the next one?
Because God was with them. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify.
And Sarah?
To testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles.
For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand of their way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. So this is a big deal, right? Because, again, there's this like, you know, Jews, we're a little bit better. We're better than the Gentiles. There's very much, we're God's chosen people, which is why Peter says, now I understand God doesn't show favoritism, right? And it's like the first time I feel like Peter's really getting it. And then he still struggles with it later, because then he like goes back and is like, oh, I can't eat with Gentiles. And Paul calls him out, because it's hard. It's hard to break those chains and traditions that hold us for so long. And this, okay, so there's a lot of debate in the church. If you've ever been to a charismatic Pentecostal church versus if you've ever been to a Presbyterian church. Or a Baptist church, or a what have you, about what does this passage mean? There are some people who will tell you that this shows that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate event from salvation, and that that the initial evidence is speaking in tongues and always speaking in tongues. I do not follow that belief, but I am telling you, I will tell you what I believe in, but like, I'm going to get to what I believe in a minute, but I'm going to tell you the church's with historically where the churches stand. There's others who agree who are like, no, the reason they're speaking as tongues is just to prove a point that the Holy Spirit was also for the Gentiles, and this was a moment for the entire Jewish church to be able to know that this was God, because we only have two instances of this coming out very clearly, is in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit comes on the believers who were waiting for the power, and then the Gentiles who were then baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of debates about what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit mean. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What is it? The church goes back and forth. I'm going to tell you about my baptism of the Holy Spirit real quick. And then I'm going to tell you about what I believe. And my belief is kind of a hodgepodge, and it's not a, it's not something I could really theologically write out well, but Here we go. So when I studied abroad in South Africa, and here are two of my favorite pictures from South Africa. This is the Cape of Good Hope. One of my absolute favorite places I got to visit in South Africa. I actually went there twice. Took my mom there one time as well. It was a lot of fun. But while I was there, I attended for the first time in my life a Pentecostal church. And I loved the church that I was attending. And it was different, but it was cool to see, like, God moving. Like, because I spent a lot of my life as a kid being like, why don't we see any miracles anymore? Like, why are they not a thing? And then I went to South Africa, and this church man was just always seeing miracles. Like, hey, do you want to do this? Like, especially words of knowledge and words of wisdom. So... words of knowledge are when God gives you information about people that you have no reason to know, used to then be a blessing to them. They'd be like, there would be someone there. He was gifted in both evangelism and words of knowledge. And he'd be like, I think there's someone here, who is X, Y, Z. God wants you to know that he loves you and da, 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 da. And people would come forward and it was pretty cool.
The 700 Club?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know about
700
that.
700 Club did words of knowledge every time, but I've like, what, doing it over the television feels a little weird.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And I can talk about that. Okay,
sure.
That's
yeah.
not.
You
this was in person.
Now.
I knew people like, and like people
yeah.
were experiencing it, but not.
It's just the closest reference.
Yeah.
That I
have.
No,
that's
no,
fine.
Yeah.
I just I was like,
yeah,
I have
correct.
No idea what that is. But I agree. Over the TV feels weird because you
yeah.
can say almost anything vague and someone's gonna respond. This
exactly.
wouldn't be necessarily, like, I remember one time, the one that always stood was, there's someone in the audience, and he was like, there's someone here who is, who is really, really considering suicide, and God wants you not to do it, and then no one raised their hand, and he's like, look, if you want to talk to someone afterwards, I'm here, like, don't leave, and then finally
and
someone
then, like,
came forward and was like,
came up.
No, it was just one person
oh.
came up, and, like, they had a good conversation, you know, but it was that kind of stuff, like, very, and it was powerful, and I love being there. My mom.
I feel like we should just give that message to every room.
Yeah, right? Like, don't do it, but.
Because it's always true.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yes. Well, it's not always true that someone's coming.
That there's someone in the room.
I was like, I really hope that's not true.
It's
like,
always true that if you are,
don't.
God wants you to talk to me. And
yes.
Find another way.
So when I was at this church, I decided. To spend my spring break with them on a mission trip. And to do that, I had to take their foundations class, 1 and 2. Which was, foundations 1 was like, you know, here's the gospel, have you been water baptized? And then they talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even though, like, I knew a lot about church, I had never really heard about the term the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I don't know what that is. What are you talking about, right? And it's... When they were explaining it, I don't remember what was said, but I just remember, and this is why I say, like, we use the best words we can. I remember, like, my whole body feeling like it was on fire, but, like, in a really peaceful, calming light type of way. Like, more like how I imagine it would feel to be, like, filled with stardust in a figurative way, not a literal way. But I, and, like, when they were like, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Like, I don't even remember, like, my hand was just up. I don't remember a conscious decision, right? And then I went up, and this church was one of the ones that believed that the initial evidence was always speaking in tongues. I will say that. That's pretty much what, the difference between charismatic and Pentecostal is charismatics typically believe, I fall much more on the charismatic side, believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Pentecostals believe that the initial evidence is always speaking in tongues. Charismatics don't. Believe that that's always the initial evidence. Anyway, I didn't speak in tongues at that moment. I just kind of felt God, and it felt so good. And I just felt wrapped up in flames. One of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And I did not speak in tongues at that moment. I did end up praying in tongues later, and sometimes I still pray in tongues, but I don't always pray in tongues. There's a lot of, lot of beliefs about praying in tongues that get really complicated. And when you go to a very cerebral seminary, it's not always considered kosher, for lack of a letter. Like, there was some acceptance, but there's a lot of, like, meh. And so this is why we get to, here's what I know to be true. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that has been debated and debated, and people are always upset because some people are like, are you saying God doesn't love me? No, that's not what I'm saying. Are you saying I don't have the Holy Spirit? No, that's not. But then there's like, and then some people are like, yes, I am saying you don't have the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of feuding going on. So here's what I know to be true. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural experience. It is not a normal, common, everyday thing. Salvation is a supernatural experience, and we need to like remember these things, right? Because the whole point of supernatural is that it's not just a here, I checked this box, I did this thing, right? That's not what it is. We can't do that. The closest we have to a natural sacrament is baptism, because yes, you're going under the water, but even at the same time, it's a representation of death and rebirth. So it is also a spiritual supernatural experience. Okay, God cannot be placed in a box. And I think that's really important, because on both sides of this issue, what I have noticed is that scholars really want to have a clear answer. They're like, I want this to be true because this makes sense to me. And, you know, God, if God hasn't given you the ability to speak in tongues, well, I don't know. Like, he will, though. I promise you. Or there'll be other people who are like, oh my gosh, like, what's wrong with you? That's not how God operates anymore. Like, so, like, but here's the thing. God can't be placed in a box. I know that whatever I experienced, and I do believe it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but, like, that moment was something I never would have been able to seek after, nothing I could have, like, been like, yes, check me off, right? Like, it was just a special. And then scholars argue over the meaning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit all day long. And sometimes I think we spend too much time arguing over what is the correct definition of something versus being open to experiencing God moving in our lives. Because I know, like, right after I was baptized, I then started freaking out, because then I was like, did I just own a cult? Like, I was like, because, like, my cerebral side, my logical side that grew up in the Western church was like, what is this? Are we good?
Yeah, sorry, I just realized that I put my pin on backwards.
Oh, okay, I was like, what happened? Like, my cerebral side, like, was like, I've never heard of this. What did I just do? What did I just agree to? It's like, I don't know what just happened. Right? And so, like, and I really did have a freak out, but I didn't even sign anything, and all it was me feeling like something, but gosh darn it, I was like, I think I joined a cult by accident. And then I was like, oh, I didn't join a cult, and turns out God's a lot bigger than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Actually, what he brought me to, and this is where I really come to with scholars sometimes, is I believe this is in Mark, where Jesus is explaining the, they're like, will you explain this parable? And, you know, Jesus eventually gets tired of, like, why do I always have to explain everything? And it says, and it says, but they didn't get it because their hearts were hard, because they did not understand about the bread. And I remember listening to that and reading that, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, God was like, here, have an amazing experience of my love and power. And then I went, like, I don't understand this. Nope, not doing it. And then my heart got really hard because it's like, I don't understand. Right? And then God was like, you don't have to understand. You know, there's not a typed out, here's how God, it's just like how people always say, like, try to preach on the Trinity without committing a heresy. It's like almost impossible because it's outside our realm of understanding. And we love scholars. We so badly want to put it into this. And then they're always like, well, that metaphor doesn't work because it really falls into the, the heresy of modalism, or it does this and all this stuff. And every time I'm like, a metaphor has to fall apart at some point. There is no metaphor that is 100% accurate.
That's why it's called a metaphor.
Yeah, like, this is like, when you deal with people who are scholars and not literary, like, English majors, like, I'm like, what is, you're all, like, arguing about how this metaphor falls apart. I'm like, when I say Jesus is living water, he's not actually living water. I thought we all understood that. But... Yeah, but, like, I mean, man, scholars, like, the deeper you go with theology nerds, the more they get into it. It's kind of like philosophy, that whole, like, we have to have it the exact precise language, and you can't really define God like that. You really can't. For me, my baptism of the Holy Spirit was a separate event for my salvation, and this is important, because I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit can come via salvation. Again, believes it can come during your baptism. I also believe that it doesn't always mean that you speak in tongues. I didn't speak in tongues right away. I did speak in tongues later. I do believe that it is a filling of the Holy Spirit that comes over you. The way they defined it when I was in South Africa was just this, like, I'm completely letting the Holy Spirit take over. And, I mean, that's a great way of looking at it, except for at the same time, like, we're humans, and so we say that, and then take it back and say it again. But it is a thing. But I very much believe, and I don't believe it has to be a showy thing, right? I very much believe that sometimes we are filled with the Holy Spirit just by sitting calmly with Him. Like, so I'm not here to tell you, like, oh, you know, you don't have the bat, whatever. And that's not what I'm here for. I am, but I do know when we ask God for gifts, He gives them to us, right? And I think, I know for myself, sometimes I get really scared to ask God for gifts because it's like, with the whole, you know, great power comes great responsibility. And it's like, oh, if you give me that gift, I'm going to have to do something with it. Right? And so I think it's important to remember, like, when we talk about these things, you have to ask yourself, do you want it? And are you going to ask God for it? Because God will give you what, like, I'm not saying He'll give you any gift He wants, but He will give you gifts because God eagerly desires to give good gifts, right? And our last verse of the day is, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It is always interesting because you also see the different theologies just in the Gospels. Luke, where this one is from, he's definitely more on the Pentecostal side. If you read Luke and Acts, he's charismatic Pentecostal. You read Mark, he's much more on the, like, it's this, like, give me the concrete facts. So, like, again, theology is complicated. And it's hard because we want answers. We love a nice answer. Like, we're like, okay, it should all be up nicely. And there are some things that I think we generally as humans are not capable of completely understanding. The mysteries of God are deep. And they should be, right? Like, I don't want a God that I completely understand or that I can just be like, oh, if I do this, this, and this, you know, I get this result. Because here's the thing, God, the reason I very much believe God doesn't like magic, I believe that there are some magic that is real. I don't know, like, I just do. Because, like, even in scripture, they have the mediums and they bring back Samuel's, ghost comes back. You had, you know, people who did magic arts. And the thing is, the difference between magic and the power of God is magic is seeking to control the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Magic is a practice of, I do, you know, I say these words, I add these ingredients, and I get this result. Meanwhile,
I'm going to enforce my will
on
creation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whereas God is saying, I want to give you power, but I want you to be surrendered to me. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, a very important thing when we think about this. And the big question I have for you today is, as we talk about Pentecost and power and what does that look like throughout this, is do you want the power of the Holy Spirit? We're going to listen to some music. Actually, it's called By Your Spirit. I want you to pray. If you want the Holy Spirit, like, if you feel like, you know, God, I think I want to be baptized in your Spirit. I'm not sure if I have, or even, like, the whole, like, God, I don't know what's going on. What do you want to do in my life? All acceptable answers, right? There's no, I'm not here to tell you you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to make that clear, right? I'm not here to tell you that. I am just here to say that we're going to spend some time praying and worshiping God. And I'm going to be up here if anyone feels like, hey, I think God is calling me to this, or I think I want this. Can you pray with me? I'll be right here. And we're just going to let the Spirit of God fill the room. And we'll kind of move forward from there. Okay?
I got a question.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
Is the Holy Spirit a one-time thing?
No. So, again, this is the thing. So, some people will tell you yes. But, like, the other thing is we talked about being... There's a difference between the baptism and then, like, being filled. So we are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. For example,
refilled.
Like, filled and refilled. Because, like, you know, it's give us this day our daily bread. It takes every day. Because, as Kelly said, right, we have to have a big party every 6 weeks, otherwise we get all sad and despair. And it's the same thing with our daily lives. If we don't focus on God... we really, kind of, you know, it's very easy to lose our minds. So for example, I know this past week has been really crazy for me and I was very stressed And I was praying last night, and I realized, like, so at the board meeting, we had a board meeting on Thursday. And at the board meeting, I sometimes like to try to be creative, and I was asking people, like, if you had to describe your relationship with God right now as a weather system, how would you describe it? And I said stormy. And then I realized, as I was thinking about this more, I was like, actually, I feel like I'm in a bed of a desert. And then I was like, I mean, I'm in a desert because, like, there's living water there and I just haven't drunk any. Like, this is my, like, I am in a desert of my own making. Now, there are times we go through deserts that are not of our own making. But it was just this realization that, like, this last week, I really didn't seek after God, right? I was tired, so I slept in late, so my prayers were shorter. And then I usually try to, like, spend a couple minutes being with God at lunch, and I didn't do that. You know, there were all these things that were happening that I was like, God, I'm sitting here saying, like, I'm gasping for air, and I'm like, and you're like, there's like a pool right next to me of living water, and here I am standing in a, like, baked over desert, you know, going, God.
SpongeBob. Yeah. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
And then God's like, and I was like, wow, I'm an idiot, right? And because I've been struggling with depression, I've been struggling with all these things. And then, like, God's like, and then I was like, God, I just need you, and I need to come back to you. And so I journaled for a while last night, but that is, I would say, is like your daily filling of the Holy Spirit, versus the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which some people will tell you is the same thing as salvation. The reason I can't believe that is because of my experience. Also, I don't think scripture is really clear that it always happens at salvation, like, you know, so I don't think it's fair to say that, but I also don't think it's fair to say that it's always a separate event marked by things, because there are some salvation stories where you know that when people talk about, like, and I never had the urge to do drugs again, right? You can't tell me that's not supernatural, like a huge supernatural thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm
going to
tell you that is.
Yeah. So, like,
if you're talking about, not because of a drug use, but, well, syrup.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Go ahead, Luke.
I don't have chapter and verse, but in Acts, you actually have an example of, like, Paul meeting a bunch of Christians who hadn't heard of baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then him kind of leading them to it. So, like,
yes.
Even within Scripture, you have people who've already accepted Christ, were Christian believers, but hadn't even heard or known that there was a baptism other than John's baptism.
Yes.
So that is even recorded in Scripture. So,
yeah, and like I said, so that, like, scholars like to debate, and they always go back to, well, that was just so the Gentiles knew that was usually what they say, because there are some people who are afraid, like, it is scary, or, you know, and there are some people who very much look down on Pentecostals, because they're more like, they usually consider them less academic, I'll just be honest, but, like, that's not what we're about. I am very charismatic in my beliefs, and I don't know what God wants to do in your life. I do know that He wants you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that could look like asking Him for a refilling. Maybe, you know, you're like, wow, I've been really dry for a while. Or maybe it's like a first time, like, God, I don't know that I've ever had this. You know, can you baptize me? Or God, like, I want your gifts. I want to make a difference. I want to see people healed. I want to see people come to know you. So we're gonna listen to this song by Tasha Combs called By Your Spirit. It's a beautiful song. Feel free to sing, feel free to worship, feel free to pray. I'm gonna be up here to pray with people if they would like to pray with me. Those of you online, if you wanna pray together, I will call you later, or we can talk, or we can do when you're next time I see you in person. But that's what we're gonna do. So I'm gonna play this. I will be up here if you would like to pray with me. And yeah, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take over. As we end, I just want to leave it open if anyone felt like God was saying something to them that they would like to share, or anything like that, or experience you had. I always feel like it's good to share what God is doing. So if there's anything, no pressure, but if there is something, I want to leave it open for sharing.
I can talk about what I felt, which is just that my spiritual block will always be my ego. Like I said, I want to speak in tongues. I want everybody to look at me and see, oh, God has vested her with his power. But in my life, I think I'm realizing that God's like, no, you're going to go to work with the dying, and you're going to go and work with the incarcerated, and you're going to go into these dark places where nobody wants to look. And so in my prayers, I was just like, God, I think I'm on the right path. But, you know, it would be nice to have some reassurance. And I, for real, got a tingle and and was like, you know, I was like, okay, there it is. All right. And like I said, like the Holy Spirit works in those light elements. So immediately was like, I feel like I just need to do something to ground myself and have a hug and be in my body, as well as in my spirit, you know?
Mm-hmm.